Welcome to the How I Scaled Service podcast. I'm Caitlin Stremple, founder and CEO of Rising Ranks Digital. We help service-based businesses get to the top of their industry by getting found online. We believe that you have a message that someone needs to hear, and that message can impact the world. Are you interested in becoming our next podcast guest? Stick around to the end and we'll tell you how you can do just that. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to How I Scale Service podcast. I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and today we'll be chatting with Ian Peterman. He's going to tell us about Peterman Design Firm, how he got started in his business, as well as answer some burning questions that I'm sure you're dying to know. Welcome, Peter. Welcome, Ian. Please take this time to introduce yourself and let us know where you're located and how you got to where you are.
Thanks, Genesis. Happy to be here. So kind of the origin story is I started this company in 2017, and that was actually on the heels of being a partner at a design firm for a few years, kind of learning the ropes. And then I started this company and I do full product development. So start to finish, if you have an idea and funding, I can pretty much fill all the other gaps to get a tangible product created and out there. And we're one of the lucky companies before pandemic made everybody else work from home. We're actually a fully distributed team. So I live in LA right now, but my team's all over the US and we were working remote before everyone else was.
Oh, that's cool. So you had the competitive advantage there as well as that work and home life balance and the flexibility there. So what was your back end story? Because there had to be some point of your life where you said, you know what, I'm tired of doing what I'm doing. I think I need to go into business for myself in order to achieve the amount of success that I want without reaching that glass ceiling. So walk us through that.
So I kind of always knew that I wanted to. So when I was a kid, one of my goals was to like start a company and work in product development with my dad, because he worked in that field. He worked in product development. And so I entered the workforce. I was like, okay, I need to get some experience. I have to go work for somebody else. I landed an internship when I was 16 doing design work and loved it. And just kind of stuck with it. I ended up working for about almost 10 years in the workforce, different companies, just kind of getting a lot of experience. And I had freelanced on the side. And then as I was finishing my degree, after also 10 years of experience working, I kind of just decided I was at a position that was capping my salary. And so I talked to people that were in my field, like, hey, what are you making freelancing? And it was four times what I was making. So I made the jump at that point. Okay, I have the experience. I know what I'm doing. I've worked with companies. So I actually have a portfolio. And then I just jumped in and I ended up working with some partners at the very beginning.
Very cool. So is Peterman Design Firm comprised of you or by yourself as a sole owner, or do you have business partners that kind of help you? Because you did mention early on that you guys were already working from home before the pandemic. So you guys were already ahead of the curve and ahead of the game.
Yeah. So I was a partner at a design firm and then kind of everybody else wanted to get out of design. So now I run, it's just me as an owner, but I have a team of about five consistently. And then I have contractors and things like that I bring in on a project. But yeah, it's me and a team that's supporting me.
Cool. So whenever you think about Peterman Design Firm, what would you say your mission statement is? And would you say that mission statement is tied to your personal or your professional passion and why?
Well, kind of the overarching mission of the firm is to make the world a better place. And so for that, what that means for me and for the company is making products that are sustainable, that look at the impact they actually make beyond just profit. And it is definitely tied to my personal mission. Like, it's something that I'm very passionate about. And so I've kind of, basically I'm using the company as a vehicle to actually do what I want to do in the world and accomplish that mission. So yeah, they're very intertwined.
Okay. So that's cool that they're intertwined. So you're using your company as a vehicle to establish what it is that Ian really wants to do in the world. So what is that? Is that along the sustainability lines, or do you have a bigger goal?
So my big goal is along the Elon Musk level. I would like to be part of like getting us into space and colonize, but I've kind of stepped back a little bit and realized that in order to do that, we should first figure out how to not crash our own planet. And so that's kind of like stepping back from there. I'm like, okay, well, let's figure out how to make products that are sustainable, because once we do that, it's going to make going in and landing on another planet easier if we're not wasteful. So that's the long term. I goal to be involved with those kind of projects.
Awesome. And it's so good to have those goals and just put it out there, because whenever you're putting it out there, you're manifesting it. Then you start to see yourself doing it, and then it becomes evident. So that's really cool. And it's so neat because you're like, yeah, I want to be like Elon Musk or better.
Yeah, I would really like to be 2.0. He's doing all the hard work now. I'd like to like come in nicely after he's established some stuff. Like, thanks. I'm going to take this now and move even more.
Okay, Ian. So you're trying to make some really big boss moves and kind of piggyback and be like, thanks for laying down the groundwork, but I think I got it from here.
Exactly. Oh, I'll do that. I'm sure there'll be somebody after me. They'll be like, thanks, Ian. This is great. I'm going to do this now.
Okay. Oh, wow. So, you know, in business, there's always that glamour spot, but then there's also the start ugly part. So what was your start ugly moment, whether it was obstacles or failures that you had to overcome to give you the incredible success that you see today?
Well, there's actually like two points that have so far been sticking points and great learning points. One was I experimented, and I say that very carefully, experimented with having a sales team do what I do. That led to learning how to try to teach people, and it is a lot harder to teach people highly technical things in order to sell. And I ended up, the team ended up ruining some relationships, and I had to recover. Instead of it being a growth period, it ended up being a recover, shrunk back to almost just me and one or two other people, and then forging ahead again. And then, because I worked with primarily startups, the beginning of the pandemic, I lost 80% of my clients within a couple of weeks, because they all said, oh, well, we're not developing anything new right now. We're in survival mode. Good luck. And so that catalyst, though, gave me a lot of time, obviously, right off the bat, and I was able to do things like I've in that year and almost a half it's been, I put down things like I actually answered the question that I had a mentor ask, well, what's special about you? What's your process? And so out of that came, I created the Peterman Method, which is just kind of putting down all of my ideas on how to be sustainable and developing products in a conscious design process. And I started a podcast. I started writing a book. So I like really took advantage of that and definitely wouldn't be now where I'm recovered from all of that, but I definitely wouldn't be here without all of that kind of churn that happens when your business gets thrown down a few notches and you get a reset almost.
The beauty is in the reset, even though some people would say the reset sucks and this is not where I expect it to be. But it's in those periods where you're learning those life lessons and you're also growing, because even though you get knocked back down, you have to remember that you're down, but you're not out. Like, you fell, but that doesn't mean like you're, you know, injured and you can't like pick yourself back up. But one thing that stood out as you were speaking, whenever you said it's hard to teach salespeople technical things, did you ever look at, maybe it was the L&D, the learning and delivery method, that was probably the gap, why they weren't getting it?
Quite possibly. And I'm not an expert sales trainer, but it just got to the, I didn't have the bandwidth to put in probably enough resources to train four people up, and figure out the learning process. For me was going to be too long. And so I kind of used up my runway in doing that. There probably were things I could have done better in training them. And then there were blatant personnel issues, but it wasn't all just that. So I'm sure there's some stuff to learn. I just haven't dove back into that, because what I figured out was that there are other things that I could delegate instead of sales and be just fine and kind of save my time that way. So now I do all the sales.
That works. Work smarter, not harder. And then as you begin to scale up your business, then you determine what works best for you and your business model whenever it comes to outsourcing, and then just making sure that you're outsourcing to the right people that know how to get the job done without you having to worry about the cleanup.
Exactly.
So was there a specific turning point in your business? And when I'm talking about the turning point, I'm talking about whether it was a marketing tactic, connections that you made along the way, business decisions, or et cetera, that took you from six figures to multiple six figures and higher.
So the turning point really was just a lot of networking, and the pandemic kind of slowed that down. But I got to the point right before the pandemic, I was doing quite a bit of networking, and I was finally building a large enough referral base. So I was connecting with, you know, patent attorneys and other design firms that have different specialties. And that is now, as things are picking up this year, we're going to be in those multi six figures. And it's mostly because of relationships that I was building pre-pandemic and networking and things like that. So that was really, because I've done all kinds of marketing. I've tried it all. And the best, the point that really turned is, and it just takes time, is building those relationships with people that then refer good clients that have budgets to actually do what they want to do. And that's really been the kind of magic turning point, is all those relationships.
And that's so important, because relationships could definitely take you a lot further than you could go alone. And it's so key that you network, and networking should be something that's mutually beneficial. Because sometimes when people network, they're like, oh, what's in it for me? But it's like, no, it shouldn't be the WIFM method. It should be like, what's in it for we, where it's like, we're mutually exchanging information. We're trying to learn and grow together personally as well as professionally. So I love how you just really owned in on the relationships is what helped take you as well as your business to the next
level. And it takes time, and I definitely referred out way more business first before I got any return, but it does come back, so it's worth it.
And so when someone looks at Peterman firm and they're like, okay, so what makes you stand out in line with your competitors? What's your niche? Like, how do you have the competitive advantage? What would you say?
So there's a couple points that are really what I define as our competitive advantages. One, we're very flexible. We have a large network. We have a lot of people that we can bring in. So we bring in a custom team around a project. And then we also, our process. So the Peterman method that I created is really focused on, you know, sustainability and research and things like that early on, like in the beginning. Being aware of what's the impact of the product. Is it going to be profitable, but also is it going to make a positive impact with people and planet in the entire process? And so that's kind of what sets us apart. We really look at that, and it's something that we say, okay, well, we want to have a sustainable product. How can we make that happen? Rather than if we can have a sustainable product, that'd be cool, but either way, we'll do it. So it's really guiding our clients into making that happen.
So you mentioned people and planet. So P squared, sustainability, process, having a process in play. And then do you do any like prototypes, like before you actually launch your product into the market?
Yeah, we do. So we do everything. We'll do the design, engineering. We have some prototyping in-house, and then we have firms that we work with depending on how specific of a prototype, what materials might need to be prototyped. And then we build out a supply chain. So if you want to get a product made, we'll build out a supply chain, and we have partnerships in like Mexico, Asia, kind of all over that we can lean on, and we'll help facilitate the manufacturing as well.
Oh, wow. You guys do have that competitive advantage, because there's not a lot of designers who really look at supply chain and the logistics part. And the reason why I say that is because I actually have a supply chain degree. So sometimes people like they scape over supply chain. I was like, you do realize that supply chain is like from A to Z, and it's from the raw materials all the way up to the final goods. And we have to source your products. We have to determine the mode of transportation. We have to look at lead times and all these things. But then you're like, hey, I got this product. Okay, I'm ready. And you're like, no, there's more components that go inside of supply chain. Yes, you have a great product, but how do you expect me to get your product somewhere effectively and efficiently without breaking the bank? Because you do want to have like your cost structure built in there too.
Yes. I talk about cost of goods, and most people go, what's that?
COGS.
Oh, I know what that is. It's the part cost. I'm like, yeah, and the labor and the shipping, and how are you going to get it to your customer? Like, there's more than just one line item on this.
Yeah. People forget all that. And they're like, then they're looking, I didn't know it was going to be that much. And I was like, you didn't think to realize that or factor that into your price method? Or, and I'm like, yeah. Okay.
It's a fun conversation sometimes.
Yes. So, Ian, what tips would you give to someone that is aspiring to do what you're doing, or an up-and-coming entrepreneur, or someone that's in business but they just want to scale up?
I would definitely kind of to what I was talking about earlier, and you mentioned is the whole you don't fail unless you quit. Like that's something that you have to keep in mind, and as someone who started a couple of businesses, definitely say that to yourself a lot, and sometimes. It's also think about what is your differentiator, and it's far more important than people give it weight, because it can be you. You can be the special difference, but you should write down like what makes you unique? Why would people pick you over someone else? And really define that, because that's part of how you brand. And while I work in the product world, we do branding too, because it's so so key to launching a product is, what is your brand? What do you say? So my advice, and it's, I actually wrote an article, it's the most popular one I wrote ever, and I've been writing a blog for 3 years, is about like how startups need branding. And it's, if you don't know what your unique value is, it's really hard to brand you properly. So really think about that and creating a brand that'll connect to your users. Like, that's, without that, it's going to be a lot of struggle to get out there and connect.
Beautiful. And then wild card question. You know, right now, everyone's talking about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, or some people replace equity for equality, whatever your spin is. How important is that to you and your business?
So that's something that I, like, I don't have a DEI officer tracking everything. We're not that big of a company. It's something, so before that was popular, my whole standpoint was I hire basically on capability, and I work remote. So I have, and it turns out I actually have one of my 5 employees is a guy, the rest are all women. So I'm kind of in that space. I feel like I'm doing well, and I don't feel like I'm having to spend a whole lot of energy being better at it, because I don't know how to diversify more than being outnumbered as the man in the room. But it's definitely something that I do think of as, because of products that we take on and projects, or I'm definitely more inclined to take on products that are positive towards that, and avoiding ones that aren't.
Okay, good answer. So as we begin to wind down, I want you to tell the listeners once again who you are, the name of your business, how they can connect with you on social media, and if anyone wants to personally reach you, list your email address or your phone number if you feel inclined to do so.
My name is Ian Peterman, CEO of Peterman Design Firm, and you can find us all social media. Peterman Firm is the handle. Well, we're on main social media, and you can find me on social media as well, just Ian Peterman. The best way to actually reach out is probably LinkedIn. I'm very easy to find there. Just look up Ian Peterman Design, and that will pop me up. And then you can also find us on the web at petermanfirm.com. And yeah, those are the best ways.
And listeners, that's Ian. That's I as in Isaac, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, Peterman, P as in Paul, E as in Edward, T as in Tom, E as in Edward, R as in Richard, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, and N as in Nancy. So you have the spelling down, so you could go connect with Ian Peterman of Peterman Design Firm. You've heard him here on How I Scale Service podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Genesis Mars Kemp. And until we chat next time, have a wonderful day. Please stand by, Ian.
Caitlin here. Thank you so much for listening to the How I Scaled Service podcast. If you're a business owner who has successfully scaled their business to multiple 6 figures or more, and you would like to be on this program, visit risingranksdigital.com/apply. And if you got something out of this interview, I would love for you to share it with your network. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your social channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, make sure to tag them to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #HowIScaledService. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and truly mean a lot to my team and me. Want to stay in our world? Go to our website, risingranksdigital.com, or follow me on LinkedIn at Caitlin Strumpel, Facebook at Rising Ranks Digital, and Instagram at Caitlin Strumpel. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.